already had Thanksgiving once and have another two or three coming. Isn't that awesome? I'm thankful that you're here this morning. I want to just say a couple of things before we get into the word. First off, just want to say that Scott Neighbors is doing awesome after his double bypass. He is home and is taking it easy, recovering. And so you can continue to be praying for him, but he is doing well, and so we're excited for that. Also want to let you know that we have a member of our church who has recently returned from Guatemala. He went there for a one-week trip, and they dug a water well. I got to see some of the videos from his trip, and I tell you, it is exciting to see how God can use that for the community. Because while the water well is being dug, there are others who are sharing the gospel, others who are, and switch out with the team, but they're able to teach hygiene and also teach about Jesus and do activities with kids. He said sometimes on these trips there's upwards of 200 kids that will gather during that time, and their families are invited to come back and things. So the gospel is shared. I mention that because next week he will be sharing some about his trip, but we are planning a trip in February to go back to Guatemala to dig a water well. It is something that we can do as a church and be a part of, and so would love for you to maybe be praying about if God would send you or to have you go and be a part of that team. In February, be planning, and I can give you more information on dates and what's needed and all of that. But just want to let you know, you'll be hearing more about that next week. Also, as Drew was announcing the pounding on the 5th, I don't know where that word comes from, but I just want to tell you as your pastor that we are so grateful to be here, and we have no needs, so we would love for you to come and just fellowship with us, and we are thankful for your kind words. And anyway, let's get ready to dive into the Word. 1 Peter chapter 3 is where we are today. Last week, we looked at the first six verses of 1 Peter here as he talked to the wives and gave them great instruction. Just to remind you of where we are in 1 Peter and what's going on, as Peter is writing this to a group of people, Christians, who are dispersed because of persecution. And specifically, he begins at the beginning of 1 Peter talking about who we are in Christ. And as you and I know who we are in Christ, he then transitions to now talking about practical ways that that is lived out. We've looked at that we are to be in subject to the governing authorities and our workforce authorities. And then last week we began looking at that you and I are to be submissive to each other in marriage. Specifically last week he told the wife, as for whatever reason, it always seems to be tackled the wife first, even in Paul's writings. But the wife is talked about in being submissive to her husband. That is almost a dirty word in our culture, right? But I just want to tell you that this is a key characteristic of what it means to be a Christ follower, is that you and I are submissive, that we are that we put ourselves in subject, that at times we lay down our rights and our wants for the sake of the gospel. Are you hearing me? Now, this is completely counterculture because in our day and time, it is do all that you can do, be all that you can be, join the army, you know. But it is talking about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. It is all about you don't let anyone do anything against you. If someone does something, you repent. I mean, that is the culture that we live in. But the Word of God has to be our authority. We build our lives upon this Word because otherwise we are tempted to just look like everyone else. We are tempted to let ourself and what feels good or sounds good rule our lives, which is why we must subject ourselves to the Word of God and see that He is our ultimate authority. And so we begin to talk about the roles and practically what that looks like in our lives. Now, before we even continue to talk about this, I just want you to know, as pastor, I know that there are some of you in here who are single, single and content. There are others of you who are single, but yet are praying that God would bring you who he would have for you. There are others of you who are married, but maybe here alone. Others of you who are married and just in a situation that is hard and struggling. Others of you who are new Christians, and what we're going to talk about here may even seem radical to you. Others who are here who have had some broken situations, and as we discuss this, may even bring up old feelings or thoughts or things in the midst of this. I just want you to know that I come here this morning as one who is learning, as one who is seeking to grow myself in this area, but we have a God who walks with us, who goes with us, who is right there in whatever situation we find ourselves in. Amen? And so we can tackle the Word of God even when it is focused upon maybe a specific situation as we talk about this morning, but we can approach it knowing that he has something that I can learn, something that I can pass on maybe to my kids or to someone else, something that I can apply to my lives. And so we listen, we learn, and we grow with that in mind. And so I just want you to know, as your pastor, I know that this is what I'm tackling right now. But I want you to know that I am praying that God uses this, that he encourages you right where you're at, that he begins to move in ways that maybe you would never have thought. And so even as we get ready to open the Word and dive in, I want to get before the Lord, and then we'll continue on, all right? Father, we bow before you right now, and we ask that you would speak to our hearts, that I myself right now would be moldable, that, Lord, I would adjust my thinking to your word and your truth. That, Lord, if there's someone here that maybe has looked at or responded to these truths and principles in a different way, that we would conform and transform and allow you to transform our thinking to what you say is true. And so, God, I pray that for those that are here hurting, those who feel their relationship is strained, I pray, Lord, that today would be an encouragement. I pray specifically for our men, that we would see our role that you have given us as God-given and as one that is to be the spiritual leader. And I pray that there is a clarity as to what that looks like. And that, Father, that we leave here challenged, encouraged, and that, Lord, trusting in you, knowing that we need you. And so, God, speak in this time. Help us, Lord, to hear from you and to follow you with our lives. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Last week, we began to look at the roles of the husband and the wives. We specifically focused upon the wives in this call to be different. Wives, we saw last week that they are to continuously be submissive to their husbands, and this is out of a worship for the Lord. As God gives us principles and truths and commands in his word, we see that this is from him. So therefore, our response, or at least in our obedience, is done out of worship for him. We saw this in chapter 2 where he says that he began this section with, for the sake of the Lord. And so for the worship of the Lord, or because of him, or in seeking to honor him, this is what we do. And he begins talking about wives being submissive. Now, and I just want to say, if you are here and you are struggling as a wife being submissive, this really speaks more about your relationship with Jesus than it does with your husband, because this is a call from him. It is a principle that is given through his word, and so we live that out. He specifically tackles believing wives and unbelieving husbands. Now, during this culture, or the culture that is going on at the time that this is written, the wives were seen much more as a possession than they were as equal to the husband. And so for a wife then to become a believer in Jesus and a husband who didn't, she was in a very tough situation, much different than if the husband became a believer and the wife was an unbeliever. Now the response in that and the prayer in that is the same, but the wife, though now there are these truths from God's word that they are equal, she has to be submissive to him because he doesn't yet believe that. And so she has to honor him. And so it is a tough situation for her. But yet this is the call that he gives to them, is to be submissive to the husband so that even if he is unbelieving, that he will be won by the actions of the wife. Oh, that is so good. In other words, for the sake of the gospel, you are to be submissive to a husband who doesn't yet believe or who is not yet living out these truths so that he will come to know the Lord Almighty. In other words, that he will see Jesus in the way that you live. Jesus modeled this and was a great example of what it means to be submissive. We see in John chapter 6, it says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." You see the submissiveness of Jesus. In Matthew 20, starting in 26 through 28, it says, "It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you," don't miss this, "must be your servant. Whoever would be great among you must be a servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." I love that. "And to give his life as a ransom for many." We see this call in an example in Jesus' life. Now again, as I mentioned a while ago, this is not an inferiority. It doesn't mean that he's calling the wife inferior, but what he's saying is that though they are equal, there are specific roles and there are specific responsibilities that are given. Galatians chapter 3 says this, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." You see, there's no difference. In Christ Jesus, we are a child of God with the same responsibility in our walk with Christ. But within the marriage relationship, there are different roles and different responsibilities. And so there is this call then for the wife to attract or to be attractive to her husband in the way that she lives. It is not to focus on the outward beauty, but instead it is that beauty that is within of the heart and the quiet and gentle spirit of the wife. And so that is the challenge. I read a proverb each day. There are 31 proverbs, and today, this morning, was chapter 21. And I've noticed in reading through the Proverbs that it actually, about five different times, it talks about how horrible it is to live with a quarrelsome wife. All right? I mean, about five. I've just noticed. I take note. You know, I put a mark next to it. No, I'm just kidding. But I've noticed that it's, and it talks about it. It almost even says it's like a dripping of a rain. You know, just like a drip. You know, I mean, that would get irritating, right? So, and I just note that because there is this call that as a wife, just as a reminder, your call is to be submissive. It is to be encouraging. It is to be uplifting. But verse number 7 that we're getting ready to tackle also says to the husbands likewise. So this call or all of that submissiveness to talk about with the wife, it then says likewise. So just in honor of the word, if you would, and stand in 1 Peter chapter 3, we will start in verse 1 and read through 7. "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Father, again, speak to our hearts. Help us to see your plan in our lives, and let us to live that in what we say and do. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Here he says, and a call for husbands is to, it is to constantly pursue intimacy with your wife. Here he says, will you put that verse 7 back up? Here he says in verse 7 that we are to do so in an understanding way. Do you see that? We are to live with your wives in an understanding. This understanding in the word means knowledge, and it is a word in the original language that actually means a practical knowledge or a knowledge that is experienced. In other words, it is a knowledge of and an understanding of my wife that only comes by living with her. In other words, there are things that I know about Lindsay that can only be known because we live together. There were things that I learned that I didn't know until I lived with her, right? And there will be things that are continually learned because men, just for your knowledge, women are always changing, right? And so what you thought you knew about her now is different, right? That was yesterday. It's probably changed by today. But it is this constant pursuit of trying to understand, trying to know, trying to learn, and it will be constant, and it will be lifelong. In Ephesians 5, it'll be a great passage of Scripture for you to learn and to go to later on. But in Ephesians 5, he gives us a very clear role as a husband, and it is... It sounds simple when said, but it says that we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Now, when you think about in what sort of way Christ loved the church, he was sacrificial. He was, it wasn't deserving. Like, we did nothing to deserve it, right? And a lot of times that is the way in which we love. We only love those who we deem deserving, but we love as Christ loved the church. And so we lay our lives down, or we die for, or we die to self in the way that we love our spouse, which means that I am laying myself down. So now, how do I do this? How do I continue to understand her? How do I continue to spend time with her? Now, think about when you guys first dated. If you're married here, you realize when you first dated, I think back to when we first dated. I mean, I fought for time to spend with her. I would sacrifice time with my friends to spend with Lindsay. And in the same way, you and I must do things so that we make sure that that she knows that she is valuable, that I want to spend time with her. And so how do we do this? The first thing and how to make sure that we are constantly pursuing intimacy with our wives is that we spend time with Jesus. It is vital that you and I are spending time with Jesus, because it is the Holy Spirit who will convict our heart when we've just been a jerk. It will be the Holy Spirit who will convict our heart when we've said something we shouldn't have. It is the Holy Spirit who will show us, hey, you have been being very selfish right now in your life. And so it is the Holy Spirit who will show us those things. And so it's vital that we spend time with Jesus, because we are sinners. And the more and more time we spend with Jesus, the more we will become like him. Your wife needs you to be as much like Jesus as is possible, because otherwise you'll be selfish. Otherwise you'll be prideful. Otherwise it will become about you instead of about her. And listen, it's easy to get there. It's easy to think that, no, this is my time. No, this is about me. You can't believe you're doing that. It's bothering me. I can't. Why would you do so? You know, we can become selfish and self-centered. And the second thing that we can do in pursuing or constantly pursuing time is to that we spend time with our wife. Again, when we were dating, we fought to spend time together. Men, we are busy. This life, this world is busy. And if we do not plan something, if we do not plan to make time or to set a time, then what we are doing is we are planning to fail. All right? Well, there must be a plan. And so I am just going to be brutally honest with you. My wife is, her love language, if you will, is quality time. And so what she wants and needs from me more than anything else is time that is undistracted, time that is devoted, and I know that. But I want you to know that I fail at that. And so this is just me letting you know my personal challenge that I've given to myself is fivefold, all right? Lindsay has not heard this. This is just something that's been on my heart that I have made fivefold. The first one is that, and a challenge that I would give to you men, is to pray daily. Pray daily. Pray daily for your spouse. It doesn't mean you have to be pray with her, but it definitely means you need to be praying for her. There are just things that when I get before the Lord and I am praying for Lindsay, I am reminded of her and the way that she is. As I pray for her, as I pray for patience for her, as I pray for strength and protection, all of these things, as I pray for her, listen, it kindles at my love for her and continues to do that. And so pray for, strongly recommend praying with. I remember last week as Kim was talking about that, something that her and Mike do is they pray every evening before they go to bed. That is such an intimate time together as they get before the Lord. Highly recommend. So pray daily. The second one that I just want to challenge and is a challenge for myself is to date weekly. Okay? Pray daily, date weekly. Time alone together. Now, we have three girls, and they need our time as well. Some of you, I'm looking across here, have many kids, right? And so time with them is important. But listen, if we neglect time together, one day they're going to move out. Okay? And when they move out, then what? You're going to look over at each other, not knowing each other, and just be like, what do we do now? We don't have any games to go to. We don't have kids. I mean, what do we do? And so it is very important that you spend time together. So date weekly. Escape monthly. Okay? Monthly, a challenge that I've given to myself is that we spend just an all-day time together. Maybe one Saturday, we just spend in the month, we just spend all day together. Whether that's going, running errands, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have anything specific we're doing, but we just go and have fun together monthly. We get away quarterly. About four times a year, I want to just get away with Lindsay. We go stay the night somewhere. Listen, it doesn't mean, I know finances at times can be tight. It doesn't mean that we do anything extravagant. It just means that we are going to go and that we are just going to get away. And then one thing that I want to challenge myself and you is that we get away yearly. Is that at one point in the year, we are going to go spend a decent period of time, 4-5 days by ourselves, just for the Lord to begin and to renew our love for one another. And listen, this is needed. And so, you guys are my accountability now, right? I have now told Lindsay out loud, this is what I'm challenging of myself. I'm putting myself on the line. You can ask me about it anytime, how's that going? Because listen, it is that important that you and I fight and make sure that we are making a plan. Because again, if we don't plan, we plan to fail. And so make a plan. Second thing, not only do we constantly pursue intimacy, but we constantly desire to show her honor. Look here in verse 7. He says, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman. Okay? Showing honor to her. This word honor, if you just to get the definition of honor, it is to high respect or great esteem. And then if you look up the word dishonor, it means to treat someone without respect. So respect is used there a couple of times. So then if you define respect, it means due regard for the feelings, wishes, rights, and traditions of others. In other words, if I am to show respect and honor to my wife, it means that I am seeking to understand her feelings. I am seeking to understand her wishes, her rights. Yes, guys, I said feelings, okay? Sometimes that's a distant word that we don't yet understand. But listen, it is important that we know that they are heard. It is important that we know that we care about what's going on. And so, how can I do this? I can honor my wife with my words. Not only privately between us, but when I'm away from her. I'm going to honor her publicly when I'm around others. I will not dishonor her to anybody. I'm not going to talk bad about her when I'm with my family or with my friends or with you're around people at work and they're bad-mouthing their spouse. No, I'm not going to show dishonor in any way. So I do that with my words. When we are in discussions, as heated as discussions can be, I will not dishonor my wife. I will not use names. I will not put down. My job as a husband is to build up. So I need to make sure that we discuss as adults, not like little kids, right? We're trying to teach our kids how to be adults. And so therefore, discussions can be like adults, not like kids. So I'm not going to throw tantrums. I'm not going to call names. These are just things that we can do and decide. I can honor her with my time and resources. And so, what does she like? What does she want? It is my job then to give that to her. And again, guys, that changes. And so we need to bring back to that first one we look at. We need to constantly pursuing to understand and to know. And so seek to know that. I have some guys who are going to help us this morning. So if you guys would, come on up. Dennis and Drew and Scott. So you guys come on up. As they come, there is a phrase in here that I want to make sure we tackle, and it is a phrase that says the weaker vessel. What does that mean, right? This word weaker vessel, this is a general phrasing, and you guys are making me nervous. Go ahead and sit down. This weaker vessel is a general statement. It is meaning it is most of the time. A lot of the Proverbs are like that. They're general statements. But what it is talking about is in most situations, the wife is not as strong as her husband physically. And so he is telling the men to be reminded of that she has been created uniquely by God, and so therefore he is to honor her in that. And so in being created, she has feminine attributes, and therefore they are to be reminded of that and to show honor. And so I wanted to make sure that we tackled that. And then there was a warning at the end, men. And he says to do all of this because your prayers may be hindered. And I think that this is specifically to men, that God cares so much about the marriage relationship that he is even putting the relationship between us and God on the line to make sure that we are being the men that he has called us to be. Listen, if your relationship with your spouse is not right, then it is really, is what I believe what he's saying is that then your relationship with the Lord will not be right as well. And so it is that vital. This is your example. This is the way in which you live out your life. All right? All right, guys. Again, they have no idea what's coming. I'm so excited. I love doing this. So a question I have as we've kind of looked through this, we know that the role for the husband is to lead spiritually. What does that look like? How do you lead your wives? What does it look like to be the spiritual leader of your household?
I think to maybe hold, make sure you're your wife's first accountability, to make sure she's in the Word daily, encourage her to read the Word daily, spend time with her talking about those things. I think talking about what she's learning, what God's teaching her. I think for those who have kids, being able to ask the kids and teach the kids Scripture, I think that's where it starts.
Drew, how long have you guys been married?
It'll be 7 years. See your testimony now.
I know. I put you on the spot.
It'll be 7 years in December.
And Scott, how many years?
30 years.
Wow.
42.
All right. Great job. All right. What else? What's it look like to be the spiritual leader? You guys got anything to add?
I think to lead means you have to be moving and walking. You have to have that in your own life. You can't lead someone if you're not walking. And so that walk has to be there before anything, and because you're not walking, you're not leading anybody anywhere.
So it's almost like the old saying that they catch more than they're taught. Hmm. That's good.
I would just say to be the spiritual leader is to let your wife know that you're walking together.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
In this spiritual journey with the Lord, and that you're growing together through life's ups and downs, which are many. And so I think it's just to make sure that she's assured that you're walking together in that.
That's good. Well, so you mentioned life's up and downs. I think that there can be, just within church, sometimes I think that we can come to church and look around and think that we're the only ones that have ups and downs, emphasizing the downs, right? And we can think that we're the only one that has struggles. We're the only ones that are going through some storms. How has the Lord used or maybe even brought you guys closer as a relationship through the storms of life?
I would just say, ladies, for all of you out there, your husband is going to do dumb things.
Hey.
I just want you to know. And as time goes on, they're probably going to continue to do dumb things from time to time. And so I thank the Lord in the relationship that we have with each other. The Lord gives grace in that. And, you know, the Lord gives us many opportunities. Us men, we have many opportunities for repentance. And I think that even though we are doing things that are not up to par or not spiritual or not right, I do think it also can serve as an example to show God's forgiveness and his repentance and the fact that he can, he can work things out between couples and that you don't have to be separated to do that.
Yeah, that's good. So are you saying that we can get close to that 70 times 7, that we've got to forgive each other? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it may come to that. hopefully it's not that bad. But just depends on what your life's like. But, God gives very, we need to be considerate to our wives. And that means we don't want to hurt them.
Yeah.
We don't want to disappoint them in life. And even though we do disappoint them at times, there is grace for that.
Yeah.
And the Lord provides that, and the Lord graciously gives understanding to our wives in that way as well.
That's good. That's good. Anything you guys want to add to that?
Just through the tough times is when you learn to lean not only on the Lord but on each other, and to know that you're walking together. And I think it cements the fact of your relationship that you're walking through the tough times. It's easy to stroll through the good times. It's tough to walk through the hard times.
That's right. I think it's important, too, that, there are unknowns that we're going to face in the days ahead of storms, but there needs to be a known, and that is that this is unchanging, right? That's a known between Lindsay and I, that no matter what the unknowns of the days ahead hold, the known is that we're going to be by each other and that we're going to tackle it together. That's the known. And so we don't talk about anything other than what's known. Hey, we've got, the Lord will not give us, he will not put us in a situation that he is not right there and going to give us grace either to get through or to call us home. And so he's gonna be right there, and we can know we're not alone. So whatever situation you find yourself in, I just wanna remind you that we have a God who is right there. That's good. Something you want to add?
I think as a young man, learning this from guys who've been married for a long time, being vulnerable with your wife. I think our tendency is to pretend like everything's okay, to keep pushing forward, and just to not talk about it. It's not good for us, and it's not good for our wife.
Yeah,
they need to know when we're struggling, especially in hard times. They need to know that. But they need to know that even though we're struggling, we're still going to trust in Him,
yeah,
and we're still going to push forward. Our relationship will never change.
That's good. So I gave you guys kind of a challenge that I have for my relationship with Lindsay and what that looks like daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, yearly. What are some ways that you have made your relationship with your spouse a priority?
I noticed you handed that. He handed that off real quick, didn't he? There you go. It's about time, and it's about priority, and being able to set that appropriately. Because you said it earlier, life is busy. We all get busy. There's a million things that you can be filling up your time with. But to give, and I think the word you used was quality time.
Yeah.
And guys, we're not really good at quality time by nature. There's a saying that guys have what they call shoulder time, which is this. Drew and I can sit down and watch a 3.5-hour football game, say 5 words to each other. When the whistle blows, we go, "That was awesome, man. Let's do it again next weekend." That's shoulder time. That's what guys do. Women do FaceTime. They wanna talk and they wanna share. And it's different than shoulder time. So sometimes we think we give quality time to our spouses and we're really giving them shoulder time. And at the end we go, "That was great." And they go, "That what?"
Yeah.
So it's really about quality time that they consider quality time.
That's good. That's good. Yep. Thank you, Scott.
Can I just say ditto? No, it is important. We've had a lot of ups and downs in our life. Raising kids is very difficult. And some of the things that you deal with in life, raising your children, just for her to know, "Hey, I'm here with you. We're standing together in this. And nothing, we're going to present a united front. We're not going to back down on this. And we're going to stand in the Lord."
Yeah.
We're not going to be completely obstinate about it, but we're going to know that we're right with the Lord, and we're going to stand together in that. And I think it's important for our wives to know that you're going to be with them.
That's good. Thank you guys very much. One of the things that I just want to challenge us with is the relationship that God has brought together, your marriage. Whether that's right now or coming in the days ahead or whatever that looks like for you, I just want to tell you it is worth fighting for. It is worth seeking help with. Listen, if one of these that have been up on stage, one of the ladies last week, or one of these men, if you have just hearing just small pieces, listen, they would love just to be an encouragement to you at any time. If you wanted to call or just approach them and just say, "Hey, how did you get through this?" Or "I'm dealing with," man, they would love that. I would love to help in any way that I can. Here's the thing. As Dennis put it, we're going to do dumb things, right? And we all contribute to the dysfunction at times. And so I came across and I know we're running out of time, and I promise I'll hurry. I came across an interview that I watched. It was on Focus on the Family. It was on their website. And the wife was talking about, and she said that she was praying, spending time with the God, and she felt like through God's word that she knew she needed to love her husband. And she said, "In that moment, I was so angry, I cried out to God, and I said, but he is so unlovable right now because of what he's done." And she said that it was just as if God spoke to her heart and said, "But you know what? You're unlovable at times as well." And so in that moment, she said, and I love this, what she said. She says, we both contribute to the dysfunction. And she says, I cannot control or change him, but I can allow God to transform me. Listen, in your walk with the Lord, it is personal, but it is also together. We are one flesh. It will require you getting before the Lord and allowing him to make changes in your life. And then that will help you in how you respond to the people around you, your kids, your spouse, people you work with. So get before. From the time that I've been here, my challenge to us is the same. And that is, we are called to abide with Jesus. Spend time with him. Because your life, everything, is an overflow of your time with him. Allow him to live in you and through you in all that you do. And that comes as we proclaim the gospel. You see, the purpose of all of this, in submission to the governing authorities, workplace, spouse, is all for the sake of the gospel. When I lead my family to focus upon the mission that we have, when I lead Lindsay and I to focus upon bringing people into our home, loving on them, sharing the gospel with them, you know what it does? It makes the little things that we used to let bother us become very small. Because in compared to eternity, they're meaningless. And so we have a mission, and it brings that mission into our lives, into our marriage, and it becomes the focus. Our focus is to make the gospel known. And the way we treat each other is a picture to the gospel of the people watching, the people in our lives, our family members, our kids. We can picture the gospel to them as well. And so if you're here, And I want to tell you, if you're here and one of these men can be of an encouragement to you or pray for you or encourage you in any way, then I would love for you to have an opportunity to do that. I'll have LaDonna and Lindsay come up as well if one of them can be an encouragement or pray for you as well. Listen, we're in this together. And so let's get before the Lord. Father, we come before you. We are thankful for your love for us. Lord, help us, give us strength and wisdom in how to best love and respect each other, show honor to one another, and to do so in such a way that it pictures the gospel to this world, your love, your redemption. And so, Lord, I pray that as I love Lindsay sacrificially and she shows honor and respect and submission, that it pictures your love to this world. I pray that in every single relationship that is represented here. God, I pray that individually we would spend time with you, that we would seek your face, that we would love you and allow you to live in and through us. Lord, if there is someone here who has not yet surrendered their life to you, I pray that today would be that day of salvation. Lord, help them to see that they are a sinner in need of you and what you have done on our behalf. So speak to hearts, Lord. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.